to the little shows that couldn't. A show about dead shows. The shows that just didn't have enough steam to get up the hill. The shows that just didn't have enough followers on Twitter, before Twitter, after Twitter, in the future of Twitter. Shows that didn't Twitter properly or think of inventing Twitter when they should have. We're talking about the shows, the lost, the hated, the beloved, but still lost. Yes. The short-lived. The shows that you remember, but you forget. The shows that seem like a dream from the past. The shows that are a deja vu. The shows that live on in YouTube clips and photo memes, screenshots. The cartoons that seem like vague, drug-fueled memories. And the sitcoms that seem like sad nightmares. They're all here. The little shows that couldn't. They're in our umbrella. They're in our wheelhouse. They're staring us in the face. They're threatening us.
That they are.
I feel threatened.
Can I talk yet?
No.
Okay.
This is my monologue.
Sorry.
I'm monologuing.
Okay.
I'm soliloquizing. Soliloquizing for the audience.
I feel like I should be chanting while you're doing
Welcome
this.
To the little shows that couldn't. About shows that have failed. Shows that only made it to one season or fewer. We're talking short-lived dead shows. Some of them are good shows that we miss, that we think should have gotten a better chance. And some of them are terrible shows that died for a good reason. And some of them occupy vague areas in between, which are kind of not really notable. So we'll shine a light on them and try and make them a little bit more notable. I'm here, your host, Brett Medill. With me is co-host Sean Stewart.
That would be me.
Yeah, he was talking. You've heard him. You like it. You know
you
that
like
voice.
It. Don't act listen, like you don't.
Just listen to that voice. You like it.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
And for our first episode, we're bringing in the guest.
Unheard of character from anywhere before.
Hello.
Shut up.
Hey. Oh,
I'm sorry.
You haven't been introduced
You will
yet.
Speak when you have been introduced, and not before. Our guest, Stephen Cartman.
Hello.
Welcome, Steve.
Hey, Steve's here.
So
oh my
great
God.
That you're here.
Hey, guys.
So we're watching. We're starting off this show, the little shows that couldn't. We're watching Clerks, the animated series, or as it was known when it aired, Clerks.
Clerks. Just Clerks.
You'll be forgiven if you missed Clerks, animated series. It was on very, very, very briefly in 2000. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of the show, Sean?
Let's talk about the Clerks history. Well, it aired on ABC on primetime. Which is kind of a feat in itself because there aren't many primetime cartoons on ABC.
Certainly not at the time.
Actually, now that I think about it, I don't even think there is a cartoon now on primetime ABC. But that's neither here nor there. Six episodes were made. Unfortunately, only two aired. Out of order, which really sucks because, I mean, as we talk throughout the show, the episodes, you'll understand why it was kind of unfortunate that it happened. But... yeah, we'll get into that once we start talking about the show.
Yeah, but ABC, yeah, they aired it all out of order, and so it failed miserably. Nobody watched it. It didn't really fit with ABC's other programming. You have to remember that this aired in like early to mid 2000.
It was around there, yeah.
And ABC had been purchased, ABC was owned by Disney at the time, still is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even back then.
Yeah, Disney bought ABC, I believe, in the mid to late 90s.
Okay.
But, so, I don't know. You don't have to watch it for very long to start thinking what Disney and ABC might have had a problem with this show.
There was a lot of what could be construed as offensive material, I suppose.
This show was... It's far more similar, like, in the year 2000, we're talking about it here, it's far more similar to Family Guy than anything else that would have been on TV at that time.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Yeah. And it didn't get a chance. It probably, I mean, I don't even know the history of it, but I wouldn't even be surprised if Family Guy is one of the reasons that this got produced. You know, but I guess Family Guy wasn't really that even popular when it first came on.
Well, when did
it?
Family Guy air? 99?
99 it started.
It would have been on for a bit.
Yeah. No, it's probably too close to start drawing those lines.
Very possible, yeah.
We don't know enough about it. But so let's, in this first episode, so I guess just a little bit more about the way the show is going to work here. We're just going to be talking about the first two episodes here quickly. We're going to give you a brief rundown of the first two episodes of Clerks Animated Series, kind of what happened, what we think of it, what's going on, and we'll wrap up this show, these six episodes of Clerks, in the next in three episodes of this show.
So every episode starts off with a South Park-esque disclaimer saying that all the celebrity impersonations are done poorly and do not represent the person as they are being impersonated by.
Except where otherwise noted by the
Unless
credits.
Unless otherwise noted, yep.
And Charles Barkley noted.
He's definitely in there.
Voiced by himself.
Yep.
There's a lot of bad shit in there, but Charles Barkley is the man.
He's definitely in there. There's a lot of special guest appearances, too. Like, Brian Posehn is the first voice you hear right out of the gate in the first episode.
The real challenge was that first episode didn't air.
Yeah, the pilot didn't air, which is kind of a bummer, especially for, like, the producers of the show. But, yeah, what can you do? I mean, they did a test screening with an audience. The numbers were not there for that audience. They didn't like it. And so they decided to go with another episode to air first, which is, I mean, I guess a network move, but what can you do?
But the first episode is kind of like an outsized crazy sitcom premise where where like the crazy guy that the billionaire the town is named after is opening up a better version of their store across the street. And oh no, the fate of the
snap.
Quick Stop is plummets into peril.
It's in peril. Peril everywhere.
What say you about this first episode, Steve?
Well, like you say, it was, it had the classic sitcom, you know, trope, I suppose, of their small town in danger of this larger thing coming inside.
Well, I mean, there are certainly some things happening in this first episode that you wouldn't see happening now. Randall refers to someone as a Riri. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I would say that the most notable thing with this episode is the what I would consider the famed horizontal rope climb reveal.
Oh yes,
that gets pummeled into the ground. These first two episodes,
do they do it twice or
they do it two or three times in the first episode, and then they do it like four or five times in the second episode.
So
one of the real issues here is that the first episode didn't air, and the second episode, the first act of the second episode. Is a like the second episode is a clip show a joke,
which is great.
The second episode is a clip show, which is hilarious to do as your second episode because they keep cutting to flashbacks of the first episode, which would be a lot funnier if the first episode had aired.
Yeah, that would have been a little more funnier for people watching at home. Going back to the beginning, every episode starts with a Clerks is filmed before a live studio audience. Which I enjoy as well, because, I mean, just the idea of that is beyond ridiculous.
But that also actually keeps changing throughout the episodes.
It does.
Where it'll say Clerks is drawn in front of a live studio audience, and then it progresses on to Clerks was drawn by a live studio audience.
I didn't catch that.
Like, yeah. It has these, like, just every now and again, the slight word changes, and then when you catch them, you say, wait, what?
Yeah, for sure. The episode starts off relatively similar to the movie as well. You get a pan out to Dante sleeping in his clothes, picking up a phone saying, it's my day off. I'm not supposed to be in today. Mm-hmm. But it's unfortunate that he has to go in because that's the Clerks' duty.
Was Clerks such a successful movie that they thought this was going to be a runaway hit? Like, I'm pretty sure Clerks was only successful because it was made for nothing. And
pretty
so any
nothing,
money
yeah.
that it made was profit.
True.
Really. I mean,
yeah, I don't think anybody was really banking on Clerks being a successful cartoon show, let alone successful movie.
Just the idea of making a Clerks cartoon for ABC on primetime is ludicrous. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense for anyone involved. The only people that it made sense for was like, hey, somebody wants to give some money to like Harvey and Bob Weinstein and, you know, it was all because of, I guess, Miramax, and Kevin Smith was one of the darlings of the Miramax thing. Did Disney buy Miramax?
I think That was pretty recent.
That seems,
I think they did
that
recently.
That seems kind of like research that we should have done beforehand.
That sounds like something that has happened. But, I mean, they shopped Clerks around everywhere, but nobody was biting.
Yeah. And
which is unfortunate.
To clarify, the Miramax was purchased by Disney in 1993. So Disney bought Miramax the year that Clerks was made.
Was being made, yeah.
Yeah. So Disney owned these Clerks Kevin Smith from the beginning.
Then. For sure.
But that doesn't mean that it makes any sense at all for them to have made a fucking cartoon. Making a cartoon of Clerks.
The most successful indie movie of 1994. And I base that on no facts at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the idea that it was the movie, it did well, and I'm pretty sure it cost $38 to produce.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Pulp Fiction didn't do anything in 1994.
No.
Not a drop.
Garbage
of
movie. Garbage movie that.
No one's heard. Have you heard of, I had to dig pretty deep to come up with that pull. Pulp Fiction.
I don't that barely rings a bell.
Exactly. Nobody knows about this stuff. 1994, you guys, am I right?
Yeah. So our characters are Dante and Randall. Dante is the clerk of the Quick Stop.
And Randall's a clerk at RST Video.
At RST Video, right next door. They get into crazy shenanigans, as you would probably know watching the show. There are three other characters, Jay and Silent Bob, who are local fireworks dealers in the first episode.
Yeah, I there's some interesting adaptations where it's like, hey, remember the movies where Jay and Silent Bob are clearly drug dealers that hang out? Well, no, Will. This is a cartoon on network television, so there must be something else that these guys can do.
How about fireworks? I guess. I mean,
it's just kind of like
illegal fireworks.
We got to come up with some mild miscreant activities for Jay and Silent Bob to be up to. You know, network TV friendly miscreant activities.
Right.
Oh, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to see. And then you've got your minor characters, Leonardo,
played by Alec Baldwin,
Lando.
Lando doesn't come into play until later, though.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about Lando.
But yeah, there's whatever. Charles Barkley. Mostly you need to know Charles Barkley and Alec Baldwin as Leonardo.
Definitely.
But it's... The structure is so weird because it's kind of presented very much like a Saturday morning cartoon from the 80s.
Yeah,
like definitely. with the science segments at the end.
Yeah,
like,
I wanted to talk about that, the G.I. Joe-esque talk-downs with the crowd.
Because knowing is half the battle.
Yeah,
I always think of it as being like Captain Planet. That's like my go-to reference. Is that Captain
Probably
Planet
Captain
always had
Planet.
Like the things after the episode.
Definitely.
Do you know? Just coincidentally, you know why that started? The whole thing about having those little PSAs in the episode was
drugs in schools.
It had, I believe that had. Oh, you know what? Now I'm not sure. I was thinking about the YTV thing. But I think it had to do with advertise. Oh, now I can't even speak to it. Sorry, brought it up. Can't even do it. Charles Barkley's great, though. I want more Charles Barkley in everything. That's why, honestly, if I can be honest with you, the reason I watch the NBA on television is to get more Charles Barkley in my life.
And no one's holding that against you.
That's right.
Except me.
So then we go, I guess, let's put these episodes together. I mean, Leonardo, they...
We're introduced to Leonardo. His father was the first explorer to go into the primitive Canadas, which is another great joke.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a running joke, but it's definitely present in this first episode.
It's a bit of a runner. Yeah, there's a call from Canada. There's the jokes themselves. There's some pretty good jokes. I love the Canadians joke, the savage Canadian wilds, mineral rights for the deadly polio virus.
Right, yeah.
That's the trade that gets made. You know, there's a lot of really decent jokes and a lot of just really dumb stuff too. The rope trick thing they keep coming back to over.
Yeah.
They do. There's a lot of repetition that gets used in this
Definitely.
Show, and in a way that doesn't always work just right. But I don't know. They're trying stuff.
It's enjoyable. I thought it was incredibly enjoyable. When Leonardo is introducing the Quicker Stop, If you're a fan of Kevin Smith movies, you'll probably notice Steve Dave in the front of the crowd.
Yeah.
Like I did.
Yep.
Steve Dave and Walt Flanagan, yep. I think, yep. are
so
both
did
there.
We.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's awesome.
I enjoyed that. There's a lot of things. Like, I think the kid in the helmet that they always talk about mm-hmm. was also talked about in the movie.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I remember that as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely takes... It's just weird that there's not... Can you think of any movies that became cartoons that became successful cartoons? Ghostbusters, maybe?
But wasn't that a cartoon before? Because I remember like a really, really old Ghostbusters cartoon.
It was called Ghostbusters, but okay. It was not the same
thing.
And then I remember the cartoon based on the movie was called like The Real Ghostbusters.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like, because we're fucking real, motherfucker.
The Real Ghostbusters.
We ain't no two Ghostbusters with a
dog or ghost cat or whatever.
Sidekick or whatever it was.
No, we got Slimer.
We got fucking
That's
Slimer,
where it's
motherfucker.
At. Egon, Peter, Ray, and the black guy. Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
So as we progress through the episode, Quicker Stop becomes a ridiculous success, taking all of Quick Stop's business. So Dante and Randall try to battle this by putting up some banners. The first one they put up is Pay As You Exit, which Jay loves right away. Because, I mean, who doesn't love paying as they exit? That's my question.
You know, it's a time-honored tradition.
I'd say so. I mean, when they bring it out right in front and center like that, I mean, it just makes it all the sweeter.
But eventually, I mean, the comedy comes from then Leonardo being an insane person.
Right.
Who is so fixated on success. Like, it's hard to believe that he could ever have become the thing that he is. But, you know, when he's faced with less than complete dominance, he needs to own everything and everyone. Mm-hmm. So he brings Dante and Randall into his inner sanctum to buy them off,
right.
million-dollar man style.
Yep.
But they don't have a price, not Randall's integrity.
Yeah.
Not if he thinks it's some sort of gay stuff.
Right. But Dante was fully on board for selling his soul.
And then the running bit of the show seems to be that Randall ruins it for Dante, like speaking for the two of them, where it's like Dante wants to do this, but Randall's already made his opinion louder
and
ruin it for the two of them.
Really, right off the hop, they let us know what the power dynamic in this relationship mm-hmm. is between these two characters, and
for
that
sure.
one of them is willingly letting the other hold him back somehow. Like, at least Dante, while Dante might be some sort of a depressive individual, he at least seems to and claims to like want to better himself. He wants to go to college, but he's like a clerk
Absolutely.
Who can't afford to, you mm-hmm. know. But it's like he wants to go to college and stuff. And at every twist and turn, Randall is there to foil his dreams and keep
just
him
curb stomp
to keep Dante in the same. Or Randall just wants to keep Dante in the same depressive hell that Randall is too afraid to leave.
Exactly.
He
needs somebody there with him to justify, like, well, I'm stuck here. He's like, but at least this guy's stuck here too. So that, you know, it's like,
yeah.
So let's talk about lightsabers or something.
Yeah. Exactly,
we've already unpacked this more than they ever have. But yeah, like, let's make some references to Wookiees and stuff, and in place of having real friendship.
Yeah.
These terrible... Randall's just an awful, detestable person.
He really is.
He's pretty bad, yeah.
He's got no redeeming factors, and I really don't care for him.
And then it turns out later on in the episode that Leonardo has some darker intentions with Leonardo New Jersey. And it unfolds in about a 50-part plan that Dante and Randall have uncovered somehow.
To eventually feed them to the mole people or whatever?
To eventually feed them to the mole people to... And, oh, God, there's just so much.
And, like, put the town in a pleasure dome bubble style. And then,
right.
in the end, I believe it's the town dome rockets off the planet and then nuking the Earth because it's the only way to be sure. Like,
yeah.
So...
And then they get to robot chickens. It's just a mess. It's an elaborate plan of messiness and... human domination.
Yeah, it gets pretty crazy.
A little bit.
After
his plan's been sorted out, the Quicker Stop gets blown up, and that's pretty much how the first episode wraps up.
It gets coincidentally blown up. It's actually not planned by...
Because it wasn't part of their plan.
It was accidentally blown up by Jay and Silent Bob, who had no idea what was going on the entire time.
But have been playing with M80s consistently.
Which ties it into their fireworks dealer...
Status. Whatever. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We get a Deus Ex Machina with Jay and Silent Bob and fireworks explosions, basically.
And then the world was saved.
Yeah, things are put back to the way they were. And all is well in the world.
And all is well in Leonardo, New Jersey for another 30 minutes.
And then we get episode 2, which is the second episode that was aired.
Yeah.
But episode 4 was aired first, and the pilot was never aired. So we get episode 2, in which it's a pretty inspired bit of comedy to decide that your second episode is going to be a clip show.
And it's also pretty funny. I like the idea of having
very good. It's a good idea. Yeah. It's hilarious to do that. And it would have been better if that first episode had aired. Because in the first act of episode 2, they keep flashing back to episode 1. And then throughout the episode, occasionally. And then they do mix in actual, like, pretend, like, basically...
Yeah, like life events that have happened before.
I think, episode 2 is the one that makes me feel the most like Family Guy.
Okay.
Honestly, like, episode 2, it's all cutaway jokes. I like the cutaway jokes that are flashbacks to episode 1, because those are actually kind of funny, we're just flashing back to one episode. And then the other ones are just kind of, like, convenient Family Guy cutaways to, hey, remember the time this happened? Cutaway, there that thing happening.
You know? It's the 1980s, and JFK is walking down the street for some reason.
There were bits like that that were kind of funny, where it was like, they flash back to the 80s, but the guys look the exact same.
And sound the same.
Exactly. Yeah. There's some of that stuff is good, but I guess maybe it's just because Family Guy has popularized that style. We think of it kind of in that way sometimes. But also, it was kind of like, in episode 2 made it clear where I was like, wait, ABC aired this one?
Yeah.
Out of the 6 they had, and they chose to air 2, why this one? Like, number one, like, it just doesn't make sense for them to air this one without airing the first episode.
Yeah.
And also, there's a lot of stuff in this episode that seems particularly more over the line. There's like a magazine pages stuck together joke in it.
It
starts with the guys get stuck magazine. In a freezer, right?
Yeah.
Dante and Randall get stuck in the freezer because there's been the locksmith has been there to change the locks.
Change the lock because they got robbed.
Right. Yeah. So they get stuck in the freezer. And they're reminiscing about other times they've been stuck in the freezer, other times that they foiled Leonardo's quicker stop.
The last episode.
And then the crazy jokes from the 80s and this and that, flashbacks. Jay and Silent Bob show up.
For no reason.
For no reason, except they're in this show. And they, of course, help the guys escape to RST Video, where they proceed to get locked into... And then the air conditioning gets
stuck
on.
And then they break
on.
The air conditioner. Yeah.
It becomes like a freezer. So they're stuck in a freezer again. And the clip show continues.
Here's a question. Why didn't they just like move some shit out of the way of the freezer and just kind of like go through a door?
The doors that open?
Because there were like a million doors there.
There were customers coming up opening the doors.
Yeah. And then they were talking to the customer. There was physically nothing. Like they're like the shelving units from the refrigerator part to the doors that open to the part of the refrigerator were just shelving units. Like literally nothing in the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, yes.
And no thoughts of like, well, maybe we could just crawl through here. Now let's talk about the last episode.
I guess the real question here is do we want to, how seriously do we want to point out the holes in this cartoon?
Well, it's
just a silly, I don't know.
But yeah, like, silly. I guess what we're really saying is that there's a reason that it failed. Like, it's not a good idea to make a cartoon where the two main characters, where the whole thing has to revolve around clerks at a video store and a convenience store. Like, there's a reason that these are not the characters that anyone ever was like, hey, let's make that show. Like, you know, you make cartoons about superheroes and magic and crazy shit. You don't make cartoons about a guy with a terrible job. Generally, generally.
I'm sure there's a couple of cartoons out there like that.
There's got to be, yeah. Oh, sure.
Well, I mean, Clerks definitely broke the mold for that. Yeah. I mean, they set the ground, they set it pretty high.
There's the great German Helmut the Mailman. You just watch him deliver the mail every
Postman
morning.
Postman Pat.
Yeah, well, there's that was earlier, international though. Editions. There's international editions of Helmut the Mailman, right. Postman Pat. Yeah. Bob the Builder was an adaptation.
Right.
What?
Yeah, absolutely.
But building is a goddamn important job, and it's exciting, and fuck you.
Let's get to the part where they turn into a clip show about Happy Days.
Yes.
I really like that. The clip show, it devolves into making jokes where it's like a Happy Days clip show. Remember the time when the Fonz did this? Remember the time when the Fonz did that? And then he jumped the shark? Yeah. Like, that's great. And the Flintstones list?
Yes.
Flintstones list. Was pretty funny.
That segment got cut out. Like the segment where it goes to the TV.
When it aired.
So they aired the show without Flintstones list?
Well, they set up the whole thing. They set up Flintstones list, Liam Neeson's Fred. I'm not watching that. Remember when we watched that and then that's where it ended? They didn't show the whole everybody getting into the bus.
and then doing
the stand up.
Wow.
It's... Yeah.
It's almost like when they put it on the air, they kind of went out of their way to
sabotage
it. Yeah, they're like, it's like they watched them and they said, you know what would be a really great way to make sure nobody understands what's happening in the second episode is that we don't show the first episode.
Right.
Like, probably not, I don't know, but it definitely seems like that would be the way to intentionally harm it.
Why did they bother airing it at all?
Yeah. Or that.
It doesn't make that much sense.
We also get our first running, our second running joke, I guess, with Dante being the biggest idiot ever.
Oh, yes.
Because as Randall always accurately remembers things, getting his Pulitzer Prize, putting things away in the freezer, Dante, stupid Dante, is swinging a cat around, closes the freezer door. That's how Randall believes
it's
they got stuck in the freezer.
Randall's the worst.
He is pretty.
He's the
pretty
worst.
Awful.
And when we get a view into his mind, it's like, he's got no reason to think anything of himself, and he thinks the most of himself.
Right.
And I hate him, and I want his show to end, and then it did. Thank goodness. And you know what? He's so good at playing that role that no one wants him to play any other role in anything at all, because that's probably just who Jeff Anderson is, and fuck him.
It's possible. I mean, he did play the gun store clerk in Dogma. It wasn't a big stretch from Randall.
Stretch. He was a clerk, but
he was a gun store
clerk.
He wasn't doing movies.
Yeah,
like come on. There were also a lot of celebrity appearances in this episode, like Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's true.
And Ted Danson,
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld was voiced as Gilbert Godfrey, or Gilbert Godfrey.
Those other celebrities didn't voice themselves.
Yeah, no. Their names were in the credits.
Were they?
What?
I'm almost certain I read when we were just watching it earlier.
What, like Gwyneth Paltrow was herself?
That's what I was reading. I read, Gwyneth Paltrow. And then it said Gilbert Godfrey as Jerry Seinfeld.
Well,
because
yeah.
Gilbert Godfrey comes back.
Well, it was obviously Gilbert Godfrey.
He's been back for a couple episodes.
Yeah, he played Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into
in the next episode. But Samuel L. Jackson was there getting eaten by a shark twice. Which is great.
I don't think that was his voice. Actually, I'm not even
sure.
Well,
he didn't even talk.
Yeah, that was the thing.
He just got eaten by a shark.
It was referenced that it was Samuel Jackson because he was getting eaten by a shark out of nowhere, which happened in that movie exactly.
Yeah, exactly. We also go into a little bit of Randall's background as he gets married to an old Japanese man.
Mistakenly. Mail order bride, he gets a mail order husband.
Yeah, really, that's the most interesting thing we have ever learned about Randall.
Yeah.
Yep, and probably will ever learn now.
That time that he got to have some begrudging respect for himself through the discipline that's given to him by an older Japanese gentleman.
Yep.
And then it was also brought up, too, that he and Dante accidentally got married later that year. He comments on it. He's just like, man, I married two guys in the same year. He's just like, I got to get my... I don't know if he says I got to get my shit together or what, but... Clearly you do at that point.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Because being gay is hilarious.
Accidentally being gay is hilarious. Yes.
Okay,
whoops,
you're right.
I fucked this dude in the butt.
Yeah, you're right. Accidentally gay is much funnier. And yeah, it was Gwyneth Paltrow as herself.
Oh, shit.
She's the only one.
Yeah.
But,
That's crazy. I didn't think that
Charles
was
Barkley, Gwyneth Paltrow, yeah.
Charlie Barks.
Yep.
Then we get into, Clerks Around the World, kind of, as they, go to Britainland. You know, Britainland.
Yeah, Britainland.
Britainland.
Land of Britain.
Where, someone asked for a fag, and Randall gets offended. Which, I mean, at the time, I guess, was kind of, it's really not that funny.
You know what? You know who can say fag and have it be funny? The kids in the hall.
Or, I was going to say, someone who just recently got married to an old Japanese man and is incredibly hypocritical about the whole idea of being a fag. So, I mean, I kind of found some irony in there.
Well, but sure, but
yeah, this, just the whole thing. I like you're a cigarette, though.
Yeah.
You're a cigarette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Dante explains it to him again, kind of thing, after the flashback, he's just like, fag means cigarette. And then Randall immediately turns around and says, you're a cigarette.
You're like, a cigarette.
Yeah, that's a good joke. Like, that's something I fucking laughed about.
That's my kind of humor. And then the episode ends off with an outro similar to Stand By Me.
Absolutely. And Jay gets to be the old man at the end.
And he types up Snooch to the Nooch and roll credits. Well, no, not roll credits, because then Jay and Silent Bob come back for the old talk downs and does a little magic trick.
Yeah. Yeah. They teach you how to
do a magic trick using the magic of Satan.
Yeah. Using the power of Satan.
And selling your soul to make a coin disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. On primetime.
On primetime
TV.
For
families.
Yeah.
So who are the MVP of the first two episodes? Who's the MVP?
I like Jay. Jay is probably my favorite character because he's so innocent and ridiculous at the same time that he just does it for me. Jay's my guy.
Interesting. I mean, I like the way that Silent Bob is drawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I really enjoy the animation of Silent Bob, but I'm giving the MVP to The Secret Life of Desmond Pfeiffer.
Oh, that's a fucking cheat and a half right there.
Was that not in the first episode?
No, that was in the first episode, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it was a cheat.
I'm giving the MVP. Well, fine. Okay.
No,
that's fine. I'll
you
give
can't
it to
change it now, motherfucker.
It's either that or Leonardo. I like Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, Leonardo.
My favorite thing is that these two characters love watching The Secret Life of Desmond Pfeiffer.
Right.
Which was a real show.
Apparently.
UPN actually made. We're going to have to watch The Secret Life of Desmond Pfeiffer.
Is that one season two?
There's no way that it got more than a few episodes.
Fair enough.
So we're going to watch it. And that's why it's my MVP, is because this short-lived show actually managed to, in its first episode, reference several other short-lived shows.
Nice.
And it didn't know it wasn't going to make it at the time.
Not
but
then.
those things seem prophetic now.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the predictions of it.
What's your MVP, Steve?
I think it's just, for me, I really kind of like Dante. It's just, I don't know. It just seems like I can really identify with a guy who gets stuck and there's just somebody constantly kind of holding him back. And it's just like, and it's never really like sure, Dante always says, he's like, oh, I want to go do college and try to make better of himself. But it's, to me, it almost kind of seems like he's just saying that. He's just saying that as his defense. So he's not Randall. Like, he's using that to define himself as not Randall. But he's already not, because Randall's a terrible person.
Right.
And Dante is just stuck. So.
Like, Dante believes about himself as, like, he thinks of himself as a person who wants to go to college and stuff, but he maybe really isn't.
That's kind of
what it's kind of how he defines
himself.
So, really,
he gets my MVP.
Interesting.
As sort of, like, almost a pity.
For being the most complicated.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, you're a beautiful wilting flower. No, you still suck.
Dante.
Stay there. Stay in the mud.
Dante tickles Steve in the feels.
Yeah, a little bit.
Tickles your feels.
So he's got that from me.
Interesting. I like that we all kind of come up with different takes on that. And Yeah, I don't know. It's a crazy show. If you're listening, hopefully you're listening because you enjoy. Really, the show is for people who have enjoyed at times or are interested in these terrible and or short-lived shows. And it's a lot of fun to dig into some of these short-lived shows and see kind of how a large group of professionals can get together to make something good and fail at that.
Exactly.
You know, and how they can come to how a large group of professionals can come together to make something good and succeed at making something good and still fail at making something that people want to see.
Right.
So it's really, I think it's interesting in that way. And, you know, check back in with us next time. We'll cover the next episodes 3 and 4 of Clerks the Animated Series.
Yeah.